shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
It's a Wednesday. Three hockey games last night, and the Oilers back in action tonight. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. You guys already know that. The official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. The Oilers, they fall in Dallas 4-1 last night. We're going to recap that. A lot of puck lines covered. The Flames pick up a win over Chicago. Tampa, they beat down on Philly. You know, our guest at 1220 is going to love to talk about that. Zach Medeiros, Grey Cup champ. He'll be on the show. And later to come in about, let's say, 35 minutes time. And Eclamere is going to hop on from Habs tonight. And, of course, the ever-talented artist as well. We're going to hit her thoughts on the Habs. Colorado, they are in action tonight, by the way. Oilers will take on the Yotes. We'll preview that. We'll recap the Dallas game. Much more. We got comments. We got Cody Ceci. We got Dave Tippett speaking about the game last night, and much more to get to. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts, and you got to make Lordco your go-to auto parts store. Since 1974, Lordco, they've been a trusted supplier of quality aftermarket auto parts and accessories. Shop owners, automotive professionals, and do-it-yourself vehicle owners know it's the place to go for fast and knowledgeable service. Check out its new store location on Calgary Trail Northwest, and don't forget to stroll through its in-store truck center for the latest truck accessories and high-performance parts. The doors are open 7 days a week. View store hours and services at lordco.com. You can hop in the chat anytime, join the conversation on 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Say what's up. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're watching from. You got a question you want us to talk about? Get it in now. We're on Twitter. I'm there at Janner31 underscore. The show's at World Hockey RPT. And you can download the podcast, of course. If you miss any of it or yesterday's episode, you can download that on the Hockey Podcast Network. So where do we start with the Oilers game last night? Is it that they sat in the box too much? Their penalty kill didn't do their job? There was a lot of things that really just didn't go well. I mean, you can't take 10 minutes of penalties and expect to kill it off every single night. But also, I got to question Dave Tippett a little bit. Why do you got Broberg and Bouchard killing penalties together? That's not a key to success. I know you're short, and I know Duncan Keith got hurt. I know you're not in an ideal situation, but it's tough. It's tough when you're killing off, you know, what, five minors? In that one, Dallas had two power play goals. They had one at the end of a power play, so you can basically chalk that one up. And also, in the faceoff dot, you got dominated. Dallas won over 60% of the faceoffs. You can't have that. It's not like they were out-hit. It's not like they were really out-manned. They were just chasing the game the entire time. And you hear Cody Ceci and Dave Tippett talk about that after. You know, they're just chasing the game. There's a couple of those where maybe you do want Stuart Skinner to stop it if he's a regular NHLer. You know, that one power play one where it was Robertson backdoor. You really want to see Skinner push all the way through and, you know, get over to that post because short side's where he's likely going to go. But I don't think you can fault Stuart Skinner for, you know, losing. You score one goal against a Dallas team that's playing a rookie in net. That's not good enough. That's your big guns not showing up. And not to say that Connor McDavid needs points every single night because his 17-game streak gets ended, but someone's got to step up. Jake Ottinger should not be the goalie in the NHL holding you to one goal a game. I think that's kind of unacceptable. It is a road trip now. Stuart Skinner, though, he stops 29 out of 33. It's an .879 save percentage. Ottinger, 21 out of 22. If you are the Edmonton Oilers and you only had 22 shots on goal, there's no way to describe how bad that is. That's 22 shots on goal in a road game. A road game should be simple hockey. Pucks on net, pucks deep. not sit in the penalty box and not take shots. The Oilers, their lone goal scorer of the night, that was Ryan McLeod. He's got 3 in 5 games now for the Oilers. I think he's got a stick. He didn't play much. He only played 11 minutes, but he's not penalty killing. He's not playing power play. So maybe they don't trust him as much on that third line. But again, 3 and 5 on a team that seemingly needs goal scoring at, you know, the opportunistic times. Doesn't matter if you're going to go put up 6-7 on the Anaheim Ducks. You still got to score more than one on Dallas. Hey, let's get to some comments, though. We got Cody Ceci and Dave Tippett queued up here.
Balance, perhaps not getting some of the calls that probably should have been called and then getting a little too many on your end.
You know what, you try to kill them. That's the difference. We didn't kill them tonight. We've been getting some, you know, there's some games that goes like that. When you're able to kill those penalties, you get it done. When we give up 2 power play goals, actually 3, 1 right at the end of it, you're chasing the game. Against a heavy team like that, they're going to play in front of the puck all night, and you get behind, it's hard to jump back in.
Yep. Dave Tippett right there talking about, hey, you know what? He didn't like all the calls. He said that. He said, hey, I don't think they were all penalties, but you still have to kill them. And that's a key. That's a key, is that if you like them or you don't, that doesn't matter in the game of hockey. Your feelings don't matter when it comes to on-ice performance. If you don't agree with the ref, that's fine. You still got to do a job, and killing penalties is part of the game. We'll see what they bring tonight in Arizona. It's the final. It's the last dance for the Yotes at Glendale. So always fun to see them in that empty barn. Hey, we also got comments from Cody Ceci after the game last night. Let's get into those.
Balance.
I thought we came out pretty good, 5-on-5, and then we took a couple penalties, and they scored on them, and we got behind. And before we knew it, we were chasing the game again. So, we've played pretty good at home. I think we got to find a way to play a little better on the road.
The road games have been difficult for them, and I think that swing where, you know, you lose games in Buffalo, you lose games in Detroit, you don't want to think that really shook their confidence, but you're seeing signs of what's up with this team on the road. Why can't they put it together? Are they not prepared for it? Is it because the lines keep changing? You got to look in the mirror at some point in time and say, hey, something ain't working. You know, it's tough to allow 4, but it's also tough to have 10 or kill off 10 minutes of penalties every single night in a road game. You don't want to see that. They can't be doing that against Arizona. You can't go and piss away a game like this. This is, you know, when we talked about the road trip, I said, hey, you got to get 4 points out of it. You want to stay top of the Pacific? Get 4 points. The best team in the Pacific should be getting 4 points out of this road trip. Not 3. 3's fine. 3 is the absolute bare minimum. You got Dallas, you got Vegas, and you got Arizona. Arizona should be an easy win. Dallas, you should have got a point out of that one. I'm sorry. I know that the Oilers in past have played good there. Mikko Koskinen's played good there. You got to find a way to get a point out of that at least. And then Vegas, well, that's your divisional rival almost at this point. You know, they're going to be one of the best teams come playoff time. You got to play them tough. And, you know, they have played fine in Vegas in the past. It's not like that's a place where you're super worried. But end of the day, with the way this team's playing on the road, maybe you should be a little bit more worried. Alrighty, other scores from last night. And we will tell you about Calgary. They beat Chicago 5-2. What is happening? I mean, Kirby Dach fighting Blake Coleman like a minute into the game? I want to hear the backstory here. Rasmus Anderson, he had 2 assists. Kachuk had a goal. Lucic had a goal. The empty netter was kind of funny. He just let Lewis roll that one in. Lucic helping out the team. A little curling effort. Markstrom allows 2 on 21 for a .905 save percentage. Great season he's putting together. He's got to be the starter for Team Sweden, doesn't he? Like, you can't choose Robin Lehner over him. That was actually a hot topic on Twitter. Maybe we'll pull up that conversation in a little bit and get to who you guys think are starting goaltenders at the Olympics for the countries that, even Canada, USA, We threw that in there on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. If you haven't found it, go check it out. Join the conversation anytime on 12 Ounce Sports. Let us know. But for the Hawks, that first goal on Fleury, yeah, that one can't go in. That really, really can't go in. If you are the Chicago Blackhawks bringing in a Vezina goaltender, that's a dagger. Brandon Hagel looked awesome again. He had a goal for them, as did Johnson. And the other game out east, it was Tampa. Tampa ends up beating Philly 4-0. Carter Hart was in goal. A little bit of a rough outing for him. I mean, he allows 4 on 35. That's an .886 save percentage. Philly just couldn't muster up anything in Tampa. Whatever they touched seemed to be going in. That Barnpoulet kid had a snipe. Corey Perry had one. Stamkos had one. Zach Bogosian with a goal and an assist. Yeah. I mean, that's for Philly. These are statement games. You know, you're playing the best teams. If you want to be considered a serious contender, you kind of got to hold your own a little bit better than what they've been doing. Alrighty, moving to the games tonight. You got Edmonton at Arizona. We'll break down the full slate a little bit later on. But as we said, this is a big one for the Oilers. You know, you don't get to sit and dwell on last night's loss here. You really got to turn it around and say, alrighty, maybe we just lay a smack down on Arizona. We forget about the Dallas game and we close out the road trip on a high. Kind of what you have to do, no? Yeah, Mikko Koskinen going tonight. He'll be up against Scott Wedgwood. It's a tale of the tapes there. Wedgwood's got a 940 in 5 games with Arizona. How that happens, I don't know. But he's got a 940 on Arizona. Mikko Koskinen, he's got a 910 on the Oilers this season. He's 9-2. Yes, there's been rough outings. Yes, there's been some pretty piss-poor performances. But he's still 9-2, and he's still your go-to guy right now. Taking a look at the lines right now, Oilers on the puck line is plus 130. I don't mind that. Oilers puck line plus 130. They're a little pissed off. Koskinen's got to come in and battle. And for Arizona, they do play the Oilers tough in Glendale. But with 81% of the public bet per Caesars going towards Arizona at plus 1.5. I don't know. I don't mind the Oilers money or puck line on this one at all. Money line, Oilers are 220. Arizona plus 180, public bet 79% going towards the Oilers. And the under 6 is trending heavy right now at minus 105. I don't hate that at all. I could see it being a 4-1 game. Maybe it's a 3-0 game. You got to think that the guys are a little bit pissed off. You got to think that McDavid, Draisaitl, they're coming out with a little bit more oomph tonight. You'd be hard-pressed to think that that wasn't going to be an option. Speaking of Mikko Koskinen, I mean, if Tuukka Rask is healthy, you have to think that he's the Finnish national team goaltender. But do you put Koskinen up there with the Saros conversation as who's going to start? We asked the question on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. We'll get to some of your thoughts right now. Max Mainville. Here's the starters. We gave you the 6 teams. We gave you Czechs. We gave you Finland, Sweden, Russia, USA, Canada. Russia's a pretty lock at Andrei Vasilevskiy. But here's what Max had for Canada. He's got Carey Price, USA, Connor Hellebuck, Sweden, Jacob Markstrom, Finland, Rask, Czech, Mrazek. I don't mind that. But again, 2 of the guys on your list, 3 of the guys, are injured. Mrazek's injured. Rask hasn't played yet. Price hasn't played yet. A lot of question marks there. Matt says Canada, Carey Price, USA, Thatcher Demko, Sweden, Jacob Markstrom, Finland, UC Saros, Czech Republic, Vitek Vanacek. I think that's fair. Again, I'm not confident in Carey Price coming back. Michael, he's got Price for Canada, Hellebuck for the States, Bobrovsky for Russia. That's one that, you know, he's having a solid season. He's going to be competing with Vasilevskiy for a start. Jacob Markstrom for Sweden, UC Saros for Finland, Dan Vladar for Czechs. Vladar's had a fine start. Maybe he's up there. Maybe I'm off. Maybe Vladar's over Vanacek at this point. Has he proven enough? How many games would he have to play to get that starting role for the Czechs? I don't hate it. NHL Insider says Sweden, Markstrom, Finland, Rassaros, Czech Republic, Vanacek makes sense. Jacob goes with Price for Canada, Gibson for USA. We haven't seen Gibson yet. I think that's a viable one for the States, way more than Demko. I think you'll play Gibson over Demko any day of the week. Sweden, he's got Leonard there. I don't like Leonard for Sweden. I don't know. He hasn't really played much on the Swedish national team. He kind of already came out and said, like, hey, if I'm not starting, I don't really want to play for this team. So I think that says you enough about the mentality of if you want him on the team, you want him there all in. And if Leonard's not going to be all in because Markstrom's a better goaltender than him, then yeah, probably just say, hey, go enjoy your vacation. Cam Pamal says Vomelka for Czech Republic, but we don't get to see him tonight for Arizona. He has played a lot. I don't think he's the guy, though, if we're thinking about what the Czech Republic could go through. Again, let us know. Join the conversation at 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. I mean, it's a lot of similar answers. There's the odd one that's kind of throwing it out there to see, you know, Mikko Koskinen. He gets thrown out there by Philip. He'll be Finland's starter. Interesting. He's also got Carter Hart as Canada's guy. Leonard for Sweden. There's been a few that have said Hart. Eric Krause, the amount of Hart in here really scares him. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't think Carter Hart is going to be your starting goaltender for Team Canada. But again, if he's your third guy, I think you're fine with that. That's why I think Spencer Knight's probably going to be the Americans' third guy. I really think that's the one. T. Fischetti said Jari. He's playing lights out. Yeah, well, lights out doesn't exactly get you everywhere. The amount of people saying Bobrovsky as well. There's a lot of Bobrovsky in here. I don't think he holds a candle towards what Vasilevsky can bring you on the international stage. Maybe I'm wrong, though. I guess we'll see. I'm excited for the Olympics. I know that there's a lot of hot takes out there about if they should or shouldn't go. We won't discuss that today. That's a story for another time. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, and Zach Medeiros. He's coming up after the break. Quick timeout.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spengler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com and sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
The NHL season's underway and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on earth. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deflection, however they light the lamp, you're going to win. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings are not going to leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings, they're giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on an NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back. Oh, yes.
All right, it's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you. We're presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Visit Lordco's in-store truck centers at select locations. Coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios, beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31_ and the show at World Hockey RPT. Our resident Grey Cup chap, Zach Medeiros, joins us to talk about the Flyers getting their teeth kicked in by the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning last night. Hey, I mean, I don't know if you watched the whole game or not, but clearly it wasn't pretty. It's tough to win a game when you don't score at all. What was your thoughts on Hart's performance, though?
Well, first of all, of course I watched the entire game because I'm a complete sucker for the Flyers, unfortunately. I think overall, I think he played well, man. And I think the back-to-back losses they've had with him, it's just they're putting way too much stress on him. You know, he starts off the game very well. And I think the story of the year so far is him keeping in these, you know, tight 2-3 goal games. And eventually the wheels come off in the back end and the offense, you know, obviously has hit a bit of a dry spell where they got like something like 11 or 12 goals in the past 21 games, which since that rate, it's been, if not, I don't know if there's anyone lower than them in the NHL, probably Arizona or some other poo team like that. But it's been rough. And I think overall, Carter Hart, you know, if there's any, you know, bright spot in the Flyers organization right now, it's probably him. So he's been playing well. The offense needs to be better and the defense needs to be better.
So this team's two games above 500 right now. Are they that far? Or I mean, like, they could miss the playoffs right now, Zach. Are they not a playoff team? Are they not even a wild card team?
Oh, man. Honestly, preseason voting, I picked them to be, I slotted them in that third place in the Met. Right now, the way they've been playing, I'd say the past 2 weeks, I'm worried. I'm worried that they're reverting back to old habits, like, you know, to last year. And we all know what happened last year was a complete, you know, abysmal year for that second half of the year. But I mean, if they don't fix things now, listen, you can, you know, harp on Ellis being out and Hayes being out right now. I know that hurts their lineup, but that can't result in the loss of this season. They have to figure out a way because every team deals with injuries, you know. But at some point, like, good teams figure it out and they find different ways to win games. I mean, you know, the way that the Flyers are going right now with goals only coming at a premium, I do not think that they'll make the playoffs.
So that's my question then, is what needs to change, what can be changed for Philly to turn things around in the near future? And if not, what point do you sell and say, hey, let's just do a full rebuild then and do it properly?
Well, I'm not ready to hit the panic button there yet. I mean, they still have some pretty good pieces. But I think, first and foremost, and I think most Flyers fans would agree with me, is call up Morgan Frost. I mean, listen, the Flyers problems have started 2 weeks back. And as of late, I'd say in the past 2 weeks, their top prospect from the 2017 draft, he's been lighting it up. He's been playing very well. And Max Willman has been called to the, you know, the big boy squad, and he's been doing all this without him back in the AHL. So Morgan needs some games. He needs some more time to kind of develop. And I'll admit, I was one of those fools who said, you know what, maybe we should move on from this prospect. You know, he hasn't looked great over the past couple of years. He's 22, yada yada. But people seem to forget that he's only played maybe what, 17, 18 games in the past two seasons because of that shoulder surgery he had last year. So you got to give some time. He's looked really well as of late. And, with the way things are going right now, why not give him the opportunity to shine? Because right now it can't get much worse than what it is. So first thing is first, call him up. And I think obviously they need guys to get healthy. But overall, they collectively just need to be better.
See, and I think that's a similar situation that the Oilers were in with Ryan McLeod, where you could keep going back to the well and, you know, sign some cheap PTO guys, or you've got someone in your system who, you know, they've kind of given the opportunity. They said, hey, now's your time. He's got 3 goals in 5 games. And I don't think he's that special of a player. I know that sounds harsh, but, like, sometimes you got to say, you know what, we picked this guy for a reason. He's in our system for a reason. Let's get him the experience. Let's get him up to the big club. And if we're losing, at least let's do it with guys who are going to be here in the future.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just to kind of finish off the whole thing, I've been seeing a lot of things lately. And I'm a complete sucker for the Flyers, as I said before. I listen to all these podcasts, and they have to get off this train of trying to sign Thomas Hurdle. I don't think they realize that at this point in the year what they'd have to give up to get a 2C like that right now, when obviously, you know, If Sam say we're a traded guy like that, they'd be just pretty much closing up shop for the rest of the year, would they not? I mean, they're not going to sell their 2C.
No, I don't see Hurdle being an option. And if he is, why are you going to overpay for another guy? Where does that set your team up in 5 years? I don't see it, you know, really benefiting them. And for with where they're at right now, yeah, you're right. They're sixth in the Met. So Pittsburgh doesn't look that bad. I mean, they're just going to get a little better once they get healthier, right? Columbus, I'm not worried. I still think Philly's a lot better than Columbus. But if you're just going to be a middle-of-the-pack team, you're going to get a shitty draft pick, and nothing good comes of that if you're Philly. So decide now if you're in or out, in my mind. And I'm not saying you do have to sell the farm completely, but I don't know.
Decide now if Morgan Frost could fit into that role as a 2C, because we all know that Derek Brassard is not a 2C. Temporarily, he can fill that void for a little bit, but permanently, he's not a 2C. Scott Laughton is not a 2C. So see what you have in this kid. At least give him the opportunity of 10 to 15 games or whatever. And then if it doesn't work out, blow it up if you really want to. But I still don't think that's the right move. But at least see what you have in him, because, again, he is your first-round pick.
From a Flyers fan perspective, are you still a little scared that the Isles could turn it on at any moment and just, like, hop right up into the playoff race? Because, I mean, they've kind of been the dumpster fire this season, but they've started on the road. Now they've run into COVID problems. Now they're kind of back at home. But, you know, that's a team that you know is going to be a tough out anytime, and they're going to be a playoff contender when they're healthy.
Yeah, I'm still worried. I feel like a lot of analytical people were kind of counting them out over the years of just kind of wearing the Isles, wearing them down over time, saying, oh, they're not a playoff team in the past, you know. And they've been saying that for the past 4 years, and Isles have proven them wrong for the past four years. And this year, it seems that everyone's just like, you know what? They kind of proved this wrong. You see what they have on the roster right now. Let's just, you know what? They could be a contender, especially getting Honors Lee back, and he was out, you know, their captain was out for the majority of last season. They finally got him back, and it doesn't really seem to make a difference. And they also plug in Big Z in that lineup. But I do agree. I do think at some point they will be able to, like, turn it on. And I know they played that long stretch of away games, right, before they got their home rink open there, if I'm correct.
Yeah, but, oh yeah.
Yeah, so I think that'll help out a lot. But yeah, I agree. I think with their coach and their lineup, they're too disciplined, too well-structured to just be an easy out. And if they are going to be an out, I think they're going to be right there in the thick of things down the stretch. They'll be out. I don't know. Like I think they'll be a wild card team, but they're definitely going to make a push at some point.
What's your thoughts on the loser point? That's a big one right now that's coming up in the standings, where Calgary's got 5 overtime losses this season. I'll repeat that. They got 5 overtime losses this season. Calgary does. They're sitting atop the Pacific. Yeah. But, like, does that need to go? Are we still just going to reward them for being tied at the end of the 60 minutes? I don't know. What's your thoughts?
No. I mean, I don't mind the loser point. The only thing I would change, because the Flyers have kind of been snake bitten too, but they've never been a good shootout team. I've never been a huge fan of the shootout. Just another, you know, like, keep the skills competition for the All-Star game. Don't put that in. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Keep it in soccer, but not in hockey. But no, I agree. I think the Flyers have lost 3 overtime games, and I think actually 4, 3 in the overtime, and then I think maybe 1 or 2 in the shootout. I don't know. I have to kind of look back at that. But either way, I don't like it. And I think if they just stretch it to 8 minutes, I think you could see a lot of these games ending earlier rather than go into the shootout, which is just purely, again, the skills competition, which I don't like.
I think that's fair. So if you were to power rank right now with the division leaders and the division leaders only, you've got Calgary, Minnesota, Carolina, and Florida. Rank those 4 teams for me. So you got Florida, Carolina, Minnesota, Calgary.
Florida, Carolina. I go Carolina first. Florida, Calgary, and then Minnesota.
Wow, you think the East is that much better, eh?
Yeah, 100. Yes, by far.
A little bias. Okay, what's your thoughts on the Olympic jerseys? You had to have seen Canada's and the Americans by now, have you?
Yeah, I don't mind them. I think they're fine. I was worried about them, you know, getting way too creative with it, which I don't know. It's fine, honestly. You know what? It's not great, but it's not horrible either. I'm somewhere in the middle there.
So you're not one who's losing sleep over it?
No, it's fine. I am a huge fan of the all black jersey.
You like the all black one, eh?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that.
Okay, I'm not sure if I'm sold on the all black. I think the red is sharp. I really like the red. I think that's bold. I think the Americans kind of look stupid. Like, they're all blue one. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just looks like a soccer kit, kind of.
Are their helmets blue, too? Or are they going to mix up the white or red or something?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. There's not a lot of red, though. And, like, you know, when I think of America, I think of, like, red, white, and blue. But there's two red stripes on three American jerseys. So they kind of forgot about that part of their country.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got
like Italy, man. A lot of teams don't like to follow their colors from their flag. You know, the Italians are also guilty of that, having blue, which makes whatever, because you're by the sea. I don't care, but you don't see hardly any green or red in that. Anyway, go on.
That's a soccer problem, though. I thought we weren't going to talk about Portugal and soccer problems, unless you really want to.
No, we're good. Let's keep it moving.
Okay. And then it's on to football before I wrap up with you. Thanksgiving. I want to know, give me some predictions for tomorrow. It starts off nice, bright, and early. You get some of the best teams in all of football playing. I know everyone's looking forward to it, the Bears and the Lions. Give me a prediction.
Oh, you're not going to like it, but I'll give you a 24-20 win for the Lions. First win of the year and probably the only win of the year.
That's pretty high scoring. That'd beat the over.
Yeah, well, I mean, Thanksgiving, man. Crazy things happen on Thanksgiving. Listen, I won't be watching it, but I mean, I'll be keeping up to date tracker there online because I'll be working. But yeah, I'm going to say 24-20 Lions. I think Cowboys are absolutely going to skunk the Raiders tomorrow. I think that'll be a high-scoring game. I think that'll be like 45. I'll give the Raiders some points. I'm going to say 45-20.
I agree. That's definitely an over game. And then the night one, you got the Bills, who are kind of frauds, playing against the Saints, who don't know who their quarterback is?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills because I just think that they're still that good of a team, and I don't want to count Josh Allen out. They're going to figure it out. It's a similar woes that Kansas City, I think, we're dealing with at the start of the year. I think, again, Bills are just way too good. They kind of just let this, you know, kind of slump take over their year. And again, with the Saints, I mean, who is it going to be? Is it going to be Taysom Hill? Is it going to be Simeon? Like, I'm not really overly confident in either of those guys, if that's who they plan on going with forward. So, I mean, with Winston out, again, I wasn't really too high on Winston either, but at least if he was in the lineup, I maybe would have been leaning more towards the Saints. But Simeon hasn't really showed enough, and Taysom Hill, great athlete, great tight end. You know, he's the Swiss Army knife of that offense. But as you're starting, you know,
permanent
full-time QB, yeah, he's not the number one. So I'm going to go Bills. Let's go 30-17.
Your Steelers are underdogs in Cincinnati. How scared are you?
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared, man. You know what? Listen, you're kind of chirping me a little bit while they're playing the Chargers, and I know you're worried there for a little bit because they actually made a bit of a push at the end there. Oh, get out of here. What do you mean? They went by three at the very end. Anyway, it all depends who they get back on defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick, he was on COVID protocol. TJ Watt, who knows his status? He's out with that hip/groin/ whatever issue going on. So if they get those two guys back plus Joe Hayden, I think that's key. Then you have, you know, obviously you have three of your key guys on defense back. And but again, I still don't think that'll be enough, to be honest with you. I think there's still way too many holes with this team. I'm gonna go 21-17 Bengals.
Joe Burrow, can I eat a little bit? Three touchdowns. Who do they have for a receiver? Who's that kid they got?
Jamar Chase.
Yeah. In Cincy?
Yeah, the Wyatt, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of someone else.
Yeah, I know, right?
Jeez. You want to give us a CFL playoff prediction? I guess those are set now. I don't think the Riders are going far. I don't know. Their offense looks like they got a home game, but Calgary's playing good. And I don't know. I mean, the atmosphere in Saskatchewan's awesome, but the atmosphere in Saskatchewan can't throw a ball. And right now, Fajardo's struggling with that aspect.
I can't believe that you led off with the West and you're not going to even talk about my former team here in the Argos. Like, are we not going to talk, first of all, can we at least
talk about the Red Blacks and their playoffs?
Forget about them, right? Forget about the Red Blacks. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah,
but listen, Argos won the East, and like no one cares in Toronto because they're the fifth team. I get it, and they're finding it's selling tickets is hard to come by out here, man. Let me tell you, especially when you're the fifth team, the MLS team's ahead of you. No one cares, but they won the East. So let's just give them a little shout out there. I think that they'll win. It doesn't matter if it's against Hamilton or the Alouettes. Toronto is the best team in the East. I think they're going to punch their ticket into the final. I know Winnipeg's the team to beat. I think Calgary is going to roll right through and beat them. I'm not sold on Winnipeg. I don't know.
I agree. So my issue with Toronto is their defense is kind of weak, eh? Like, when you want to put them up against, like, Hamilton's defense, I don't know. When I think of cold football, and again, I've never played a football game in December, but I think defense is that crucial to the point where I would give Hamilton a little bit of a tilt. I think they're going to get past Montreal. I'm not too worried about that. But then when they play Toronto, I guess, is it that big of a difference if you're playing in Toronto because of their stadium?
Yeah, and the grass too. I think, listen, they're all used to it, right? Because obviously Hamilton played about two games there per season. I would agree with you. I haven't been overly sold on Hamilton's offense this year. I think they've been really shaky at times, even though I am confident in their defense, but the Argos have really good offense this year. And I agree with you. Their defense isn't great, but with Chris Jones back there again, and they have that bend, but don't break mentality similar to the Steelers. They make big plays for them. If you watch the games throughout the year, they come up with big plays, big moments. I think they're leading the league in what, pick sixes. So, I mean, for whatever that's worth, I'm just saying that they make big plays on that D, and the offense looks great this year. And I think, I don't know if I'm going to pick up the win at all, but I know that they're going to win the East.
Okay, get your futures bets in. Zach Madero says so. Get your futures bets in all on the Argos. Buddy, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy Thanksgiving football. I hope you can watch some of it because my Bears are going to clobber the Lions. And I'm not sure about your Steelers, but that's on Sunday. That's a story for another day.
Yeah.
Go.
Doubtful about the Bears, but yeah, let's go Bears anyway.
Go Flyers, go too. We'll throw that in. Hey, it's Cody Jansen, Zach Medeiros, Grey Cup champion, joining us on World Hockey Report. We got to head off to a commercial break. We're going to talk with Anik Lemire, talk some Habs after this. We're presented by Lord Coil Parts.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages include a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
The NHL season's underway and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on earth. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deflection, however they light the lamp, you're going to win. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings are not going to leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings, they're giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on an NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here, just go back.
Hey, it's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report. We are presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. And have you ever been to Finland? Well, if not, you should go. The 2022 World Championships are there, and the great people at Sports Travel Tours want you to experience it as well. Check out all the available packages at sportstraveltours.com. Let's snap it out east now. Our guest from Habs tonight, it's Anique Lemire. She's a returning guest to the show. You know her, you love her. She's a great designer as well, artist. Go check out her work on Twitter, on Instagram, all of the above. Let's talk Habs, though. And it's a tough start to the year, Anique, but I think it was kind of expected for the most part. You're missing Price, you're missing Weber, and you're coming off of a crazy playoff run, and you get a shortened off season. You know, I want your vibe of the fan base right now, why it seems like they're so up in arms after what was seemingly going to be a tough transition into the season.
It's a shit show. Let's put it that way. It's a roller coaster for everybody. It was an insane playoff run where a lot of people expected us to crash and burn as soon as we hit the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we started proving people wrong. So I think the expectations were just skyrocketed last year. And then coming in this year, you start obviously without Carey Price, which is a huge factor for us and a huge factor for the boys. He's a big leader. Lost some guys like Corey Perry, Joel Edmondson is out, you know. So starting the season with a bunch of injuries obviously didn't help us. And as a fan base, it's not pretty, but it's Montreal, you know. When it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, it is really bad.
So how much do you think comes down to the coach's shoulders? We'll start with Dominic Ducharme and your assessment of him this season, how he's been playing some of the guys, how he's been adjusting. Because obviously when you've got your big guns, your Shea Webers, your Carey Prices, your coaching style is going to change. You've got a lot more reliable players back there. Do you think he's done enough this year to kind of, you know, go with the flow of the changes here, or do you think he needs to, you know, kind of step it up as a coach?
I am probably one of the only people who does not have a problem with Dominic Ducharme right now. I've loved his coaching style since he coached with Team Canada and everything. So I think he's got the right mentality to coach the young kids. He's been limited with who he can put on lines and the shuffling. I don't blame him for shuffling the lines. Nothing seems to be working apart from that Dvorak, Anderson, and Drouin line. So shuffling the lines, I don't have an issue with it. I don't think he needs to step it up whatsoever. And everybody who's been saying, let's fire him, like, listen, you're still paying Claude Julien $5 million a year from his previous contract. You just signed Dominique Deschamps to a three-year extension. So you're not just going to go ahead and fire the coach at the beginning of the season because it's not going right. It's still early. There's still time to catch up. The Eastern standings are so close. So for now, I don't see an issue this year. If it keeps going all year long and you start seeing the players not adjusting to the system or calling it out, then maybe it's something you can revisit over the summer. But right now, I have no issues with Dominic Ducharme whatsoever. He can only do so much. It's up to the guys on the ice. And Josh Anderson said it a few times, too. It's up to them to perform on the ice.
So you mentioned Christian Dvorak, and now I want your thoughts. It's been 2 months or so since the Kotkaniemi trade, and they get Dvorak. Yeah. I mean, looking back, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but are you happy with it? Do you kind of wish they would have kept Kotkaniemi and, you know, laid off Dvorak a little bit? Or what's your thoughts now?
So I am the biggest KK fan you'll probably ever meet. Absolutely love this kid from day one. I still believe that he could have gotten a better chance. If you take a look at last season and the season before, I think he played with 58 different line combinations. So how are you supposed to develop such a young kid when you're shoving him on the fourth line, at the wing, moving everybody constantly? So he didn't get a chance to really get adjusted. And then he's being benched. You know, he's always the whipping boy, as Dale Lee says. So I wasn't a fan of him being let go, but I'm really happy that he did sign that offer sheet and that he seems to be happy in Carolina. So best wishes to the kid as well. I mean, he's going to have an amazing career in front of him.
Well, he's on the best team in the East, so I'd hope he's having a pretty good time in Carolina.
Oh, for sure. But you take a look at his points right now and everything. He's got 4 points and he's playing on the fourth line. So 6.1 goals for a fourth liner. He's got 3 points. I mean, it's a little bit rough right now, but, you know, it is what it is. As for Christian Dvorak, I was a big fan of the signing. I didn't mind it whatsoever. His preseason was pretty great. He seemed to be all over the ice, very energetic. As for the past few months, I've been a little bit let down with his types of play. He's been great in a face-off circle, but I was expecting a lot more out of him. In the past, let's say, 3 to 4 games, he's starting to finally get a bit of the rhythm, I find. So I don't know if he's the type of kid where it just needs a little bit more time for him to adjust to a new system. Whether you like it or not, he's going from the west to the east, so it is different. Maybe it's just an adjusting period. Aside from that, if he keeps going the way he's going, I think he's going to be fine. Let's just give him a year to see how he settles in, and maybe next year is going to fill in some more shoes and go from there, honestly.
Was Cole Caulfield jinxed from the start when Trevor Zegras said he's going to put up 40? Because I don't believe in jinxes or anything, but I also think that the expectations were a little bit too high. Just knowing that, man, it's the best league in the world. Like, it's not that easy to step in and put 40. Like, not everyone can be Brett Hull here.
No, I was not expecting 40 out of Cole Caulfield. I would have been happy if we would have gotten around 20 to 23 just for his first season. But he came in last year and he performed like an absolute god in the playoffs. So the expectations were so high. And let's not forget, this is a kid that went from college to the A to the NHL in a span of 1 month. So he didn't get the full-on experience of playing in the A a little bit. And this year he did go down, but only for 2 weeks. So he was just starting to find his groove, getting his confidence back and playing well. And we brought him up right back. So in my opinion, it was a little bit too fast. I would have been perfectly fine having Cole Caulfield with Laval until maybe Christmas. And then you bring him back up, because whether you like it or not, you brought him back up. We lost 6-0. And it's still a losing mentality in Montreal right now. The team is not, I don't want to say in bad spirits, but obviously, you know, it's not good spirit. So I don't know. I think it's just going to take one goal for him to dust it off, take the monkey off his shoulder and go for it. He's an amazing NHLer. He's an amazing player. No doubt that he's going to have an incredible career in front of him. I'm not worried whatsoever for Cole Caulfield. He's doing all the right things on the ice. It's just a matter of getting a greasy goal in my opinion.
So for my thing, where I almost agree with Adam, I don't fully agree with Adam's takes on Cole Caulfield, but seeing what the Oilers did with Draisaitl and Nurse, and obviously Draisaitl got sent back to juniors first, but then in his first year, he was sent down to Bakersfield. The Oilers were just getting clobbered night in, night out. So he goes down to Bakersfield, rips it up. And then at the end of the year, they bring him up and say, hey, the rest of the season's yours, because we know guys are going to be going all in because they're battling for jobs for next year. You know, same thing that the Ducks did back in the day with Getzlaff and Perry and those guys, where they were kind of like, hey, our team's not where it should be right now, so we're going to, you know, keep you away a little bit, but we're gonna work you back up. I think Lupo was a part of that group too. But I do think that he could have spent a little bit more time till maybe after Christmas, as you said. Maybe the team gets healthy and they go for a playoff push, or maybe it's just now he's got a point per game plus in the American League. Like, there's nothing wrong with being the best goal scorer in the American League, but there is something wrong in my mind about being on a team that has a losing mentality and him feeling that his development's not getting where it is because the team sucks.
100% agree. He could have benefited from just staying down there and do like Draisaitl. Worst comes to worst, you keep him there for half the year, and then if you see that the team is just going downhill and not progressing, then you bring him back up, tell him, you know what, just play your game, have some fun, see what it's like, and get a few games in the NHL, you know?
So to the goaltenders now, and I mean, Jake Allen, it was kind of expected he was going to have to carry the load. I don't think he's a starting goaltender. That's obviously what St. Louis saw too. But you're also going to see Caden Primo, who's an interesting prospect in my mind. I still think that there is NHL backup potential in Caden Primo, but I want to know your assessment of him.
So Caden Primo, if we're taking a look at how he played in training camp preseason, I wasn't super impressed with his performances. He seemed a little bit more nervous in front of the net. I think we're so used to seeing Carey Price being cool, calm, and collected that as soon as you see somebody a little bit more jittery, it makes you nervous. I was more of a fan of how McNiven was playing, and I believe that McNiven should be Jake Allen's backup starting the season, but it wasn't the case. We went and got Ferdinand Montembeau. So calling up Caden Primo in the last few weeks and seeing him play, what a change. He was so composed. I absolutely loved how he played. I know the results and the scores in front of him were not what we expected, and he was a little bit left alone. The defense is another issue here, but really happy with how he's doing. So in my opinion, if you leave Caden Primo in the A for this year, let him play a full season, get the experience. Next year, he could be a solid potential for a backup. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, I don't think it's something to rush him into that backup role, right? You know, he's still, how old is he, 23, 24? I don't have an age on him right now.
I think he's 24.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, again, not everyone needs to come into the NHL at 24 full-time. One of the interesting pieces on the back end, and we had talked with his former coach on World Hockey Report, was Chris Weidman, who comes you know, into Montreal and stuff. He looks like he's had a solid start here. He's one of the few players on the team who's positive in the plus-minus. Plus, he's got 8 points in 15 games as a D-man.
Yep. He's been a breath of fresh air, I find, when you're taking a look at defense. It hasn't been pretty this year, but I just don't understand why he's constantly being moved or scratched out, or, you know, he doesn't have a permanent spot in the lineup, and he's been one of the guys who's been the most consistent, and we saw it on Saturday. We played with 11 forward and 7 deep, and I was at ice level on Saturday for the game just watching him. He is all over the ice. He's constantly talking on the bench. He's the type of leader that you need. So for me, Chris Weidman needs to be permanently in the lineup. He's been consistent, and I have no issues with him this season whatsoever.
Yeah, he ripped up the KHL as well. So, you know, points-wise, I think he can definitely produce. And when you consider maybe a comparable defensive-wise, I don't know. I mean, it's not like he's like a Tyson Barrie. You're not going to get that from him. But again, you're not paying him nearly as much. So for Montreal to really not use him in that role, that is a little disappointing. But I mean, good for him to get back in the league. We'll leave it there. So last one I want to ask you about is Nick Suzuki, though, because this is a kid who maybe a breakout isn't the exact way you'd put it in playoffs last year, but man, I mean, he's just a heck of a hockey player. He's leading the team offensively this year. I feel like he's almost, you could call him the heartbeat of this roster up front, at least. Am I wrong in saying that? And just where do you see his game elevating to the next level?
You're not wrong. Gallagher said it, I don't know how many times in his pressers, but when the team is having an off night or whatever, Suzuki will be that type of leader on the ice that's going to step up and lead this team to a goal, a point, or something. He's just going to do something right on the ice to level them up again. So I absolutely love hearing that, especially from a guy like Gallagher, because you know Gallagher gives 110% every single shift. As for a breakout season, I mean, he called himself out after the Anaheim game, saying it was one of his worst games of the year and that he needed to step it up and play better. Shows up next game and scores, and since then, he's been almost a point a game. It's insane how, as soon as he calls himself out and the level of maturity he's playing with, for such a young kid, it's like, what, his third, fourth season in the NHL? Like, it's still pretty early when you think about it. So, for me, if he keeps going like this, I have no issues. But the main thing for me that I'm noticing is that he is putting a lot more work in the faceoff circles. Against Boston, at some point, he was 80% against Patrice Bergeron, which is huge because we know Patrice Bergeron is like a master in the faceoff circles. And on Saturday, he was 72.8%. So if he can keep the consistency in the faceoff circle and keep the level of game that he's playing right now, he's going to be, it's going to bring up his game and eliteness even more.
Yep. That's a fair way to put it. I think 2026, maybe we see him on an Olympic team or something. I said that was my last question, but I lied. I got two more for you. First, I want a prediction tonight. They play Washington. So that's not going to be easy.
It's going to be a tough one. Washington is an absolutely incredible team this year. They're coming out two shutouts in the past few games. Alex Ovechkin has 52 points in 54 games against us. So if we stay out of the penalty box and maybe step it up in the penalty kill, we should be able to compete with them. The key's going to have to be coming out in the first period, scoring the first goal, and keeping the pace up. It's not going to be an easy task, especially trying to string two games in a row. We haven't done that this season at all. So I don't know if it's the monkey on our backs that we're going to have to get off tonight, but I don't know. I have a good feeling for tonight. The boys are coming off a good win. They were in high spirits in practice, as we saw on Twitter the other day.
That's an awesome video.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I love seeing them smile and just still being in a good mood regardless of what's going on. So for predictions, I was bold in my pregame predictions today, and I said 4-0 Montreal and Cole Caulfield scores. And I know everybody's going to laugh at me for it, but go big.
Okay, and I got one more because, I mean, you're an incredible artist and designer as well. But
thank you.
What's your thoughts on Team Canada, Team USA's jerseys? I mean, I get it. They're going for the simple, clean look. I understand that's what they're trying to do. But is it a little disappointing from your perspective being like, holy, they could have been so much more creative and they give us this shit?
Yeah, it was a little bit underwhelming design-wise. The Canada leaf was, I don't know, it bugs me for some reason. The white jerseys have potential. That's probably my favorite one. And aside from that, the all black ones is just a scratch off for me. I cannot get interested in it. And the red, I don't know, it's underwhelming. I was expecting a lot more, but then you take a look at the Team USA ones and it's just worse.
They're worse.
It's absolutely pathetic. Like you said earlier, it looks like a soccer jersey. So I don't know. I am not a fan. I'm not a fan. It's missing some creativity. It's missing a little oomph into it. So it could have been much better. Let's put it that way.
The last minute homework project. Anik, thank you so much. We're out of time here, but I appreciate you hopping on. Everyone, be sure to go follow her on Twitter. It's Alamir Designs. That's on Twitter. There, go follow her. Thank you so much. Thanks. Enjoy the Habs game tonight. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Cody. Cheers.
Anik Lemire right there. Hopping on World Hockey Report. We got to wrap it up. We got to get out of here. And you know what? We got hockey tonight. Oilers, Coyotes. If you got a prediction, let us know on Twitter at WorldHockeyRPT. I'm there at Janner31_. You can check me a follow, and you can get to the show tomorrow. Same time, same place. We'll talk to you then.